6:12 now on this Wednesday morning, October 2nd. I don't know if you saw the vice presidential debate last night. This is a little bit of what J.D. Vance had to say, and I find it interesting, and I'll tell you why in a second.
I believe that whether you're rich or poor, you ought to be able to afford a nice meal for your family. That's gotten harder because of Kamala Harris's policies. I believe that whether you're rich or poor, you ought to be able to afford to buy a house. You ought to be able to live in safe neighborhoods. You ought to not have your communities flooded with fentanyl. And that, too, has gotten harder with Kamala because of Kamala Harris's policies.
What I find interesting about that is J.D. Vance kind of put Tim Walz into a corner because, well, you can't crap all over the sitting president, but then again, if you're going to be honest about it, the vice president is known to have little to no power over anything, and that's why a lot of politicians are hesitant to even run for vice president, because they feel as though they'll be put onto this island where they're never seen again. Justin Buechler, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University, joins us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Am I accurate there when I say that about the vice president having little or no powers?
For the most part. I mean, there's an old saying that the job isn't worth a bucket of warm spit. Mm. And it sort of depends on who the president is, because the president can delegate more or less authority to the vice president depending on the job. So some vice presidents have had more authority, like Dick Cheney had a significant amount of authority under the George W. Bush administration. But a lot of vice presidents have relatively little remit. And so Vice President Harris has had some responsibilities, as, for example, with the border, which maybe does not work to her advantage. With respect to the economy, almost none. And with respect to inflation, zero. That is pretty much entirely the purview of the Federal Reserve.
But it does, in a way, I guess, strategically, it did kind of put Vance into a hard position, not Vance, put Walz into a position, because just from the debate standpoint, it's not going to change anybody's vote, I don't think, Professor. But it was interesting to me because it's like, well, he can't really say, well, that was Biden I guess he could have said it was the Federal Reserve when it comes to that. Tell me your thoughts on the debate.
So it was a relatively conventional debate in most ways. There are a couple of moments that have gotten attention, like the fact-checking and mic cut, but relatively civil, which unfortunately is something that we have not seen in recent years. We've seen a lot of commentary on who won on style points, which is kind of a pointless and stupid thing. We had the obvious introductory questions on Iran's missile attack on Israel. But honestly, it was a relatively mundane and uneventful debate, as most debates are.
Somebody texted in, Vance wiped floor with Walz. I like the point J.D. Vance made. If Kamala had day one plans, and why hasn't she implemented them the last 4 years while she's been in office, which goes to what we just addressed, correct?
Yeah, Kamala Harris has not been president. She's been vice president, and that means having almost no real authority. I mean, officially, the job of vice president is presiding officer of the Senate, which doesn't even provide any real controlling authority in the Senate. The job of presiding officer essentially means that she casts a tie-breaking vote when there is a tie-breaking vote to be cast, and she has some ceremonial duties. And beyond that, it's whatever authority is granted by the president, which is relatively little. She has not been in charge of anything. And as for how much credit or blame goes to the president, that depends on the issue. There are some things that are directly attributable to President Biden, and there's a lot that's not. But to Kamala Harris, no.
Somebody texted also and said, my mind hasn't changed, but it was the most civilized debate I've seen in many years. Now, that is an accurate text to me. I don't think a lot of people's minds were changed, but it was nice to see civility for a change and not a lot of ugly name calling.
Yeah, we passed that very low bar, which it's distressing to think that's the bar that we're cheering ourselves for crossing. What can we say?
Well, the term moron wasn't used, so there's that. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Nobody challenged anybody to a fight, so there's that, right?
Yeah, and given the state of Ohio, there was a famous moment in an Ohio Senate debate, remembering that J.D. Vance is the senator from Ohio, where there actually was a challenge to a fist fight. So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about how the things that are happening in the Middle East could affect this presidential election, or if they could.
As for whether or not they will affect the presidential election, the general answer is not in any large way, because for the most part, U.S. elections don't tend to turn on foreign policy. U.S. elections tend to turn on domestic policy, or at least they tend to turn on the state of the economy, and people attribute the state of the economy to domestic policy for the most part. American voters are less concerned with foreign issues than domestic issues. It's simply more relevant to people's lives. Now, that said, in a very close election, it's possible for smaller issues to matter. It's just that you have closer divisions. As for the extent to which the Middle East is going to influence voters, if you think about a really close election, you have a couple of things going on, and this influenced even the fact that Tim Walz was on that stage rather than Josh Shapiro. I mean, if you remember that the selection of the vice presidential candidate, there had been some people predicting that Josh Shapiro was going to be on that stage. Josh Shapiro, obviously governor of Pennsylvania, important swing state, but the pressure within the Democratic Party, within the activist base was, and I'm just going to say this, don't pick the Jew. Mm-hmm. And that may have helped Kamala Harris with Pennsylvania, but the politics within the Democratic Party didn't allow that. And now we have flare-ups.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we have a flare-up with Iran, and we don't know exactly where this goes. But the politics within the Democratic Party have put a lot of pressure on Kamala Harris. Pennsylvania certainly would have been easier had Josh Shapiro been the running mate. But I think that's the bigger concern for the Democratic Party with Iran and Israel, the fact that it was Tim Walz rather than Josh Shapiro.
Somebody texted and said, at least we didn't talk about hand sizes. So there's that as well. Another positive right there. 620.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. You can feel free to text in your thoughts on the debate last night. Somebody said, I am very concerned with what's going on in the Middle East, and I don't want another world war. I'm sure a lot of people are, but I don't know how that relates to your choice of a presidential candidate. Somebody else texted in, would your guest argue Dick Cheney had zero impact? Well, actually, Professor Buechler said that Dick Cheney had a lot of impact. Personally, for myself, I think Cheney was running a lot of what went on from the Oval Office when the second Bush was president. 621 now, traffic, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. When it comes to the feeling among voters in the swing states, what's going to turn there? First of all, let me go back a second. What about Helene and North Carolina and the effect that that's going to have on the election at all, or Georgia even in terms of voting or federal response? Or will that be a factor at all, do you think?
It's hard to say that it will have much of an effect. There's actually a relatively famous study in political science about the effects of natural disasters on election results that it can actually move election results away from the incumbent. This is actually, it goes back to the original story behind Jaws. If you remember, there were actually shark attacks in New Jersey. So there's a paper by Chris Akin, Larry Bartels on shark attacks and floods and things like that. And incumbent parties actually can be punished for natural disasters if there is a perception that the policy response is insufficient. However, that is dependent on whether or not the policy response is perceived to be insufficient. And that sort of means it's unclear at this point whether or not the incumbents will be punished. It's possible. I wouldn't hazard a guess at this point because it really depends on whether or not there's a perception that incumbents are perceived to respond insufficiently. There was some evidence after Hurricane Katrina, which obviously you in New Orleans remember, that may have moved a few votes, although not all that many. And obviously in the 2004 election, George W. Bush was reelected. So the effect is not all that big, but it's probably measurable.
Somebody texted in, and I don't know if they're far off here at all. They said to them, it seems as though it's either pro-Trump or anti-Trump. It's not necessarily for Kamala Harris or Waltz. It's either you love Donald Trump or you hate him, and that's what this election is going to turn on. Thoughts?
So it's really hard to say. Usually a presidential election is about the incumbent, and that's even when the incumbent is termed out of office. So the normal rules of political science would say that it's about Biden, but Biden's not even really in the picture anymore. So my normal response would be to say, no, it's about Biden, even though Biden's been replaced by Harris. But Donald Trump has a way of just sort of sucking up all of the oxygen in the room. And that kind of makes us question the normal rules of elections. In general, I default to the political science models that say that voters think about presidential elections in terms of the sitting president, because the models have a lot of predictive power. But it's certainly hard to keep President Biden in mind when Donald Trump just sucks up so much of the oxygen.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Couple of things here that I wanted to clear up. As it relates to the vetting of Shapiro, let me turn this down for a second here, and then we'll get on with our work. As it relates to the vetting of Shapiro, there were a couple of things that went on during the vetting of Josh Shapiro that also could have affected his choice to be the vice presidential candidate. He had some problems with a sexual harassment complaint against an aide, as reported by the New York Times. It took him a while to respond to that. And there was also, when he was Attorney General of Pennsylvania, a case of a woman that was stabbed repeatedly from the front and from the back, like 8 times from the back, 10 times from the front, once in the head. The fiance broke down the door to find her body, and they ruled it a suicide, because he had no defensive wounds. And at that time, then Attorney General Josh Shapiro had some connections to the fiance's family. So there was a lot of stuff in his background besides just being Jewish, just to be fair and to be factual about it. For those of you texting in saying, how could you not know that? How could you this? How could you that? I guess I was kind of like focusing on those things that I think would really be the deal breakers when it came to his nomination. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Jeremy Alford about the governor's plan to change a tax system in Louisiana here on WWL.